Proverbs 29. In 1938, the name Boston Curtis appeared on the ballot for the Republican committeemen from Milton, Washington. Actually, Boston Curtis was a donkey. The town's mayor sponsored the animal to demonstrate that people know very little about politics and their candidates. And he proved his point. Boston Curtis, in 1938, won the Republican committeeman from Milton, Washington. It's sad but true. Americans know very little about their government, the Constitution, the freedoms and rights we enjoy, and those we elect to office. And so a donkey was in the committee house, whatever that was, in Milton, Washington there. Oh, that was kind of funny. In Proverbs chapter 29:2, the Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I want to talk to you this morning about the right and reason to vote. I read a lot of things on the internet, and I read a lot of things about people's viewpoints on these matters. I'm going to do my best today that to show you from Scripture that we have a right to vote and we have a reason to vote. Some would like to add another R, and I keep hearing this word, responsibility. But I don't know that you're going to find that in Scripture as our responsibility. And so I'm not going to add something that I can't find in the Scriptures. I believe there were people involved in government throughout the Bible, and I find that to be a wonderful thing. But I see Daniel involved in the government. I saw Joseph involved in government. Moses appealed to the government and those kinds of things. But we have to be careful when we're trying to reason from Scripture to just say things to try to get people to do what we want them to do. And that is not how God wants us to preach. That is not how God wants us to live. We don't parent that way. And we certainly, everything we say and everything that we claim to be true ought to be from the Scriptures. And the principle here this morning that I want you to understand is that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. The Bible shows us that there is a great effect that happens when righteous people are in authority. That is why we want parents to be the right kind of parents, so that the righteous are in authority. We want pastors to be the right kind of pastors in our churches. We want on a local government, we want the mayor of Latrobe to be righteous. We want our governor for the state to be righteous. I've been meeting some of our local officials and have sat down with a few of them, and those running for office, from time to time, they'll come and ask me to go to lunch with them, and it's always a free lunch, so I obviously say, sure, absolutely. And I don't know if I'd vote for them or anything, but I certainly like the places they pick for lunch. But I like talking about these things, and my whole thing in studying these things and looking at these things is so that I can find out who is righteous. Now, when we say the word righteous, we're not talking about perfect. When we say righteous, we're not talking about the righteousness of the Lord, which is absolute holiness. We're talking about those who would be in authority and do what is right in authority. We want to talk about this morning things that are right, things that we should be looking at, things that we should be thinking about as we come to this time of elections. We're going to be voting for local representatives. We're going to be voting for all of these things. I would dare say to you that what is done on the local level is almost more effective than what is done on a national level. And sometimes we just overlook our local government. And they're the ones that are representing us. And they're the ones that are bringing bills to the House. and asking for votes and things to be put in place. And so we need to look at these things and look at what is right in this country. I have found that people want to boil this election down to people and personalities. And the Bible does not show us that principle. We don't vote on the person and their personality. We're not voting on somebody that we can look to and feel good about. We're looking to put somebody into an office or into a position of authority that would do what is right in that office, that would do what is right for this country, that would do what is right for our city, that would do what is right for our state. And so when we talk about these things, people want to boil it down to people. If you were to pick a king of Israel, you would not have picked Saul. The Bible says that he was hiding amongst the luggage while they were trying to make him king. He was not wanting to be. The only thing he had going for him was that he was taller than anybody else. That's not a very good platform to run on. All my other candidates, they are short. And I don't think they could lead because they're short. And I am taller. And the Bible says he was head and shoulders above everyone else. Like that was it. But they made him a king. If you were looking for a king, you would not have chosen David. He's sitting in the middle of a sheep field as a shepherd, practicing with the stone and the sling. You would not have chosen David to be your king. Because God does not choose his authorities based on the person and their personality. He takes that person and judges their heart whether it is right or not. And so as we're talking about this coming election, as we're talking about voting, as we're talking about these things that sometimes people make divisive, there's not have to be anything divisive about it. All you do is go to the Bible and see what is right. And then you line up with the person that is right. We want the person to line up with us. We're just going to line up with the person that is righteous, that is going to do what is right. I am not talking about a person that that you don't agree with on this thing or that thing, or you don't agree with the way they said this or said that, or you don't like the way that they candidated this or candidated that, or stood for this or for that. I'm talking about looking at the Bible. And when you look at the Bible, you just take the Bible for what it is. And you take it and you say, Lord, I am going to do what you want me to do with who you want me to do it with. And there's not going to be any argument about it. There's not going to be any craziness about it. We're just going to look at the Bible and stand for what is right. And so as we see, number one, you have been given the right to vote. That's a pretty awesome privilege. All the way throughout the Bible, God's ideal form of government was theocracy. Wouldn't that be a great thing? With God as our leader and nobody telling us this, that, or the other. I mean, that is God's ideal. Everybody listens to God. The problem with everybody listening to God is the Bible says a generation came along and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so he had to bring about judges and he had to bring about people to rule over the people because people do that which is right in their own eyes if we're not careful. And so God began to start the judges, and then God instituted and allowed the people to have a king. And obviously all the way throughout they were under the Roman government. There were czars and dictators and all of those things and emperors. And we see those things come along throughout human history. America rose about 240 years ago. And the government that God allowed to be placed in this country was a government of freedom, a republic, if you will. The government is governed by the consent of the people. We're a democracy. We have a vote and we have a voice to choose. We get to vote on different things. We have a constitution that is the law of our land. And may I just say this as a side note, I wouldn't vote for anybody that says the Constitution is out of date. We live in a generation where people pick up the Bible and they say, oh, the Bible's archaic and the Bible's out of date and we'll just get a different Bible and we'll get it to say what we want it to say. And that's not how God works. God works in absolutes. And when God said that He would not only inspire His Word, bring it from heaven through man to this earth, God also promised that His Word would be preserved from generation to generation forever. If the dominant language was Greek, He would have the Bible in Greek. If the dominant language is Hebrew, He would have it in Hebrew. If the dominant language is Italian, He would have had it in Italian. If the dominant language is in English, He would have it preserved in English. And I'm so thankful that today we hold the Word of God in the English language absolutely preserved by God. From generation to generation forever. Well, we have documents in this country. And people are trying to say, well, that was back in 1776. And they didn't really know exactly what we would go through. And listen, I just believe that those amendments can happen and those kinds of things. But we have a document that is the law of our land. And it is the Constitution. We don't have a monarchy. We are not an anarchy. We are not communist. We're not socialist. But we have become apathist. And we have a bunch of Christians today that are sounding their voice out. And basically, they're so disenchanted with what is going on. Their conviction in their heart is not to stand up and start changing things. It is to sit back and to do nothing. What a sad thing. I saw an illustration the other day. An elderly gentleman was sitting on a park bench, basking in the sun. When another elderly fellow sat down beside him, they looked at each other and for a moment, but did not speak. Both men just sat there, staring straight ahead. After a while, one of them heaved a big heartfelt sigh. The other jumped up immediately and said, "If you're going to talk about politics, I'm leaving." I'm not going to talk about politics this morning, so please don't leave. But what I am going to remind you this morning is that Christians had better be informed and involved in the political process because it affects you, it affects your family, it affects the next generation, it absolutely affects what God and how God deals with our nation. In Proverbs 29:2, we said, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice." You have been given the right to vote. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 33? The 33rd Psalm. The Bible says in Psalm 33 and verse number 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, and He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of His habitation, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their works." And it says, "There is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." I would say to you that we have the opportunity to affect this nation. Because the way that you affect a nation is not by rising up and complaining. It's not by rising up and putting a Facebook post up of how bad things are and how much you disagree with everything. The way to affect our nation, the Bible says, is to make God your Lord. It's to let the Lord rule your life. Is to gather as many people around you for the Lord. And if there is enough people that are for the Lord, then our nation will be for the Lord, and God will in turn bless our nation. See, we have a right to vote. We have a right to affect our nation. You're an American. You're born in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Thousands before us have bled and died for the rights and freedoms we enjoy. As I speak, men and women are in harm's way all around the world defending our freedoms. My friend, you are blessed to live in this nation. You're not struggling in Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria today due to war and civil unrest. I can't even imagine waking up wondering if my house is going to be bombed today. I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine living underground or in a cave on a hillside or living in the woods, scrapping together some food. I heard yesterday a statistic in Syria today. If you'd like to move to Syria today, $20 for a loaf of bread. $20. The monthly income of the average person in Syria is $100 a month. And $20 gets you a loaf of bread. The next time you complain about Walmart, I'm going to throat punch you. That's not a very pastoral thing to say. I'm going to high five you in the face. That's not very pastoral either. We've got to quit complaining. We complain about lines. We complain about parking lots. We complain about prices. We complain about the good and the bad and the ugly. And we complain about all this stuff. We're not starving today. 70,000 people died this year in Syria from being bombed. 1.5 million people are in a refugee camp of some sort. 1.5 million people are living 3 feet from somebody else on a cot, with all of their belongings slid under a cot. And they might not see their family today or ever again. And yet we want to complain. You live in America. With all of its problems, it is still the greatest nation on the face of this earth. You have the right to vote. Take that right. God has given you a nation that says, you in this nation, you are the people of this nation. And as a part of this nation, you get to affect the nation. If you want the nation to be blessed, then you need to get closer to the Lord. You need to gather people that are godly. You need to gather people to love the Lord. We shouldn't be spreading our political ideas. We ought to be spreading our spiritual ideas. Because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You have the opportunity to be heard this week through your vote. To elect those who embrace the things of God. Those that are righteous, those that do what is right. And before you judge another person that is running for an office of any kind in this country, I would say you probably need to get the big old stick out of your eye. I had somebody telling me the other day how they didn't like one of the candidates, and they began to repeat what the candidate said, and the candidate used a word that he said, I don't like that word, and 2 sentences later, he cursed, telling me the story. And I'm thinking in my head, do you listen? I won't tell you what I really thought. Pastor, I'm a pastor. We want to hold, it's when we read our Bible and we judge Peter for how fast he talked or how what he did and denying Christ, and we sit back so pious and say, how could he ever do something like that? And if God had a rooster sitting in our backyard, we probably would hear it crow just about 3 or 4 times a day as we don't take the opportunities for Christ that we ought to. We want to judge Jonah. How could he go the other way? And God says, I'm not asking you to go to Nineveh. I'm just asking you to go next door. Every one of us would be in the belly of a whale today if we really got what we deserved. And so I'm simply saying to you, you live in a nation that gives you the right. That God has blessed this nation. It's still a nation that is not a monarchy or a dictatorship or communist or socialist. We still have the ability to walk into a building and say, I'm punching my ticket for this person and this person and this person because I believe, according to God's Word, that this is the most righteous person I could possibly pick. They're not the best and they're not the perfect one and they're not going to do everything that I think they ought to do, but this one does this and I believe in this and this one's going to protect us and this one is going to help us on a local level. And this one's going to drop some taxes so I can give more to God's work. And I can help others and be more giving in my life. You have that right. Romans chapter 13 is kind of one of those chapters that is kind of the hallmark of when you're talking about government. And I'll end with this, my second point. You not only have the right to vote, God has blessed us as a nation to have that right. I can't even imagine being back in those days where you'd wake up one morning and they would say, this is your king. And this is who it is. This person was actually able to kill the most amount of people and so they get to be king. Praise the Lord, we don't live in a country like that. We live in a country that gives us freedoms and then according to our Constitution, all men are created equal, and not only according to our Constitution, but according to our Bible. And no person is better than another person, and from amongst us can rise amongst us the authorities that need to lead this nation. And the ones that rise up amongst us, we need to uphold in prayer and see and seek and study and make sure that they are doing what is right. And voting to ourselves people that are righteous, not people that will get us more money and bigger rebates and more food stamps and a nicer house and more money, but the person who's going to do what is right by God. You have a right to vote, but number two, you have a reason to vote. You have a reason to vote. The Bible says in chapter 13 and verse number 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. That word powers means delegated influences. Delegated influences. God in His infinite wisdom included a word in Romans chapter 13 over 2,000 years ago. He included a word that says delegated influences. What we're going to do on Tuesday, this is our next election, we are going to delegate our influence to somebody else. Right? That's what a vote is. My vote is I'm voting for this person and I'm delegating to them the influence that I want to have. It's what we do with missionaries. When I want to be in China, I can't go to China. I don't know that I would go to China if I could. But I do know the people of China need the Lord. And so I find a missionary that's going to China and I delegate them with my finances, with my vote as a church and say, we are going to support this person who's going to China and they're going to influence China for us. That's what we do with our vote. We are voting to delegate responsibility, delegate influence, and the influence we want to have, we delegate to somebody else, and that's why we vote. And then it says this, the powers that be, for there is no power but of God. There is no delegated influence except God allows it. Here it is, the powers that be. That word be means to exist. That means I am here this morning. In bad grammar, I be here. I exist. I am in front of you. I am a being. That word be means to exist. The powers that exist are ordained of God. Here's what people want to say. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter if I vote. The person that's going to be in power is going to be who God wants to be anyways. Incorrect thinking. Pastor Luke, come here for a second. Just a little while back, this was Brother Lear, and he was in that position for how many years? 8 years? 8.5 years? 9 years? Close to 9 years? He was already in the position of assistant pastor, meeting certain criteria we said we not only want him to be our assistant pastor and the helper of our pastor, but we're ordaining him into the gospel ministry to look at him as an ordained pastor, a minister. That did not make him a minister. That did not make him a gospel spreader. It did not make him an influencer. It put our stamp of approval on him. If we never ordained him, he's still a Christian. If we never ordained him, he's still a man of God. If we never ordained him, he's still a preacher. If we never ordained him, he's a lot of things. But because we ordained him, he has now the stamp of approval from his pastor and from his church that we ordained him to be Pastor Lear. Thank you. The powers that exist, that word ordained means to establish. It means the stamp of approval. It means this is the person. All right. Here's what you need to do with this person. What I'm saying to you is, before it ever gets to where God puts his stamp of approval and says, okay, that is your leader, and now here's how you act towards your leader. You pray for them, you listen to them, you follow the laws, so on and so forth. You can read the rest of the chapter. Before that ever happens, he says, who are you going to delegate your influence to? Let every soul be subject unto the higher delegated influences. For there is no delegated influence but of God. God has put a process in place in this country that we can delegate who we want to represent us as a country, as a state, as a town, as a school district. We get to have that power. And when we get and delegate that influence, then God says, now you follow that person. If the person doesn't win that you thought should win, you are still subject unto the higher powers because they are of God. But you have a right to vote and you have a reason to vote. Because I don't know about you if you watch the landscape of anything going on, but there are some heavy decisions that have got to be made by the national president, by our local leaders, by our those that represent our state, those that represent our country. Those, I'm talking about foreign things. I'm talking about our Supreme Court. I'm talking about all of these things. And listen, if you want a scary list, just go to Proverbs chapter 16 later on, or Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 16, and you're going to find out what God hates and what's an abomination to God. And I'm going to tell you this. There is a candidate that has said she upholds the right for a woman to shed innocent blood. Amen. And there's another candidate that has said, it is not okay with me. And listen, I'm not here to sway your vote or do whatever. That is not my responsibility. My responsibility is to point you to the fact that righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. And an abomination to God is those hands that shed innocent blood. We can talk about the lying tongue. We can talk about all kinds of stuff this morning. But let's just leave it there. You have a right to vote. Listen, you have a right. It's your right in this country. The righteous, when the righteous are in authority, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Listen, when you go to vote, I want you to study your Bible. I want you to get on the internet and figure out what the platforms are. You can go to myfaithvote.com and you can see the different platforms and what they believe about our Second Amendment and about abortion and about different things of that nature. Listen, you can do all that research. You can go to Facebook today. Mike Pence put out a video this morning. What a powerful testimony for Jesus Christ this morning. And he told his salvation testimony when he got saved as a freshman in college. Man, I was rejoicing. What a blessing to have somebody who will stand up and say, hey, whatever happens, happens. I'm just here to tell you that the reason I live in America and the thing I'm thankful for in America is that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. and I can be a part of this process of changing our country. And I just want you to know this morning that I love you. And no matter how you vote, I love you. And it's not your business how somebody else votes. That is their right. But I tell you this morning, you have a reason to vote. And you have a reason. If you want this nation to be exalted, if you want our nation to be blessed, you get out there and you use your influence as a person of God. And can I say this to you? If you just go in there and hit all Republican, shame on you. If you go in there and hit all Democrat, shame on you. That's not influence. That's not even looking at the Bible. Well, I voted Democrat for 50 years. I voted Republican for 50 years. Hey, there's a day coming where those lines are so blurred that it's time for God's people to vote according to the Bible. And if that person is a Democrat over here that believes in this and what I believe, and I'm going to vote for them. If this person's a Republican, they believe according to the Bible, that I'm going to vote for them. And I'm not voting according to whose party they're in. I'm voting by who they represent. And listen, don't forget in this whole thing whose we are. We are the children of Jesus Christ. We are the child of God. Use your influence to see this nation blessed. You have a right. I hope you see according to the Bible, you have a reason.